We are in the book of Philippians. Last week we looked at verses chapter 3, verse 12 through the end of the chapter, and I entitled that message, Let Nothing Stop You. And just to remind a few of you that weren't here and you that were here, one of the key verses in this particular passage that I've heard preached time and time again, and I want you to see this on the screen, it was verse 14, chapter 3, verse number 14. And you know this passage, it says, I press on to reach the end of the race, receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. I used to think that meant to try harder. I've heard message after message after message that was about striving, about trying to be more like Christ, and so forth. And we saw clearly that Paul said a few verses earlier, he said, put no confidence in self-effort. So you see, that's not a contradiction. He just simply meant something else. And here's basically what he meant. He said, focus, keep striving to understand the finished work of the cross. And I'm telling you, that was a revelation for me, and I think for many of you. And then here's kind of the summation of chapter 3, if we could see that slide. Spiritual maturity is not about doing more for God. It is growing in your understanding about how much God did for you. What a difference. That's the difference between law and grace right there, don't you think? Today, we're going to look at Paul, what Paul is saying in chapter 4. And in my opinion, he's saying something like this. Stay focused on the prize. Stay focused on the prize. Well, do you think he gives us a clue about how we're going to do that? You know he does. And I'm going to give you at least three things that'll help you stay focused on the prize. That prize, by the way, is Jesus Christ. Number one, continually be an encourager. Continually be an encourager. Now, I see that in verse number one, chapter four. He said, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stay true to the Lord. I love you and long to see you, dear friends, for you are my joy and the crown I received for my work. Now, keep in mind, Paul is speaking to the entire church here. This is a letter that was taken back to the church at Philippi. And even though there's two ladies that we're going to read about in just a second that were grumbling and complaining and evidently having a disagreement, the best way, by the way, to help diffuse the problems in the church or problems in your family is to be an encourager. You say, I don't want to be an encourager. I want to chew them out, right? Or so forth. But I want you to see what he's doing. But here's, notice this slide here. It says, tell people who they are. When you see disagreements in your family, just tell them who they are. I don't do this enough, but I have been known to do the right thing occasionally, believe it or not. I will leave my wife, maybe we just had a knockdown drag out, but I'll leave her a note stating that just remember today how much you're loved, how much you're forgiven, how accepted you are in Christ. You see, I'm not focusing on their behavior, I'm focusing on their identity. You see, you focus on their identity, not their behavior. When you're correcting children, I wished I had understood this when I was a kid. I was a parent raising small children. I wished I'd understood it more that you should never attack the person when you're dealing with a behavior in the child. Don't say you're no good. Many of you heard that as children, I bet. You'll end up in jail and you're put down as a person. Really strive not to do that because focus on their behavior. Now, this is not who you are. And I love how Paul dealt with conflict. You look at the church at Corinth. How did he deal with the church? Did he come in and start blasting them up front? No. He spent about three chapters in 1 Corinthians dealing with, you have forgotten who you are. You are God's accepted beloved, and you are God's child. And he went on, and then he did address the behavior and talked about some problems they were doing and so forth. And he's not denying they're doing something wrong here, as we're about to read here in just a moment. But anyway, but remember, you focus on their identity and not their behavior. Now, let's move on to the second verse, and we're going to read about a conflict going on between two women. All right? Now, I appeal to Ellen and Sarah. And it is that's how you pronounce that, right? Hey, y'all don't know how to pronounce that either, so, all right? Don't laugh at your preacher. All right, now I appeal to Ellen and Sarah. Please, because you belong to the Lord, settle your disagreement. Now, the Bible does not give us a clue as to what they are arguing about that I see in Scripture, at least in this passage, or and I don't think it's referred to in any other passages. So we don't know what's going on here. We just know there's a problem, and they're having a tendency to argue. Notice once again how Paul goes for their identity. Did you see it? Because you belong to the Lord. He's saying, you're forgetting who you are. Hey, when your wife gets out of hand, man, just say, hey, you are a child of God. Let me know how that works out for you, okay? But I'm just telling you, that's exactly what he's doing. He said, you belong to the Lord. You've forgotten who you are. Sometimes we act out of, our behavior doesn't define us, thank God. Right? Y'all got that down pat by now? I've said that for 5 to 6 years now here at this church. Our behavior doesn't define us, and I'm so thankful for that, aren't you? That we're defined by what Jesus said. Now notice verse number 3. And he said, and I ask you, my true partners, I want you to see some things that he said about these two women, okay? And I ask you, my true partners, there's one, to help these two women. By the way, he's talking to everybody, so there is a time to intercede and come on beside somebody that you know is struggling. And you know what? You've got to be led by the Holy Spirit of God to do that, don't you? You come in at the wrong time and in the wrong way, you'll be blasted and rejected, and you still may be anyway, but there's time you might feel led to go say, hey, I know you're struggling some in this area. Maybe I've been there myself. Some of you have told me. I know Dan and Ava does a lot of this kind of stuff where they share, they've messed up so much they have a lot to share, right? I'm sorry, Dan, I couldn't help that. Yes, I could help it, but I just didn't. But anyway, we go through trials and difficulties. Yes, it hurts us during the midst of it, and we mess up and we blow it in our lives. But how can we begin to come alongside of somebody else had we not been there somewhat in that situation? That's how the power of God, Romans 8:28, for God works all things out, even your mess ups. God's got a good plan, believe it or not, for it. How many of y'all are in a mess up right now? You don't have to raise your hand. Hang on, you'll get there if you're not in one right now. You need to be encouraged that God's going to take that mess up. He's going to teach you and grow you and mature you, and you're going to end up being a help to somebody else down the road. So he said, my true partners to help these two women, for they worked, watch what they did for Paul. They worked hard with me telling others the good news. They worked along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are written in the book of life. Wow. He's focusing on the good. He said, you're true partners. They worked with me sharing the good news. Didn't Jesus say something similar? He said, how will the world know that you are my disciples? How will they know that you are Christians? Because you love one another. You see what he's doing? He's pointing them back to who they are and to what should be showing. He said, they worked not only with me, but with Clement and the rest of you. So, to me, this is so powerful. And then once again, he pointed to their identity. Their names are written in the book of life. I love it. They're children of God is what he's trying to say. Paul is saying, stay focused on the prize. So how do you stay focused on the prize? Number one, continually be an encourager. Continually being an encourager. Tell them who they are in Christ. Look for the good that's in them because they're in Christ. If you don't see any behavior that's good, well then focus on their identity and tell them who they are. Number two, practice rejoicing in difficult times. Hey, we don't have a problem practicing grumbling and complaining and worrying, do we? We don't need practice with that. But I'm telling you, we need practice rejoicing in difficult times. Look at what he's saying here, verse 4 and 5. Always be full of joy in the Lord. Can I remind you where Paul was when he was writing this? Yeah, have I said this before? He was in prison. Okay, just a reminder. Always be full of the joy of the Lord. I say it again, rejoice for us hard-headed people that don't get it the first time. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember the Lord is coming. Notice he's saying stay focused on the prize. Live in light of eternity. Don't live in light of what's happening to you down here on this earth. Live in light of who you are. Stay focused on who you are and so forth. We've said in this series, rejoice is a choice. I'm telling you, rejoice is a choice. Paul was staying focused on the prize. He was full of joy in the Lord. I'm sure he had his down times. After he had been beaten, I'm sure he laid there hurting and probably thinking, oh my goodness, Lord, why me? What am I doing wrong? And so forth. But I'm telling you, he didn't stay there. If you go through that little phase of a pity party in the midst of your destruction or your disappointment or your discouragement, my friends, get up out of that and start talking to yourself the truth and speak the truth. If you say, I'm broke, I'm sick, my family's betrayed me. That's hitting the financial, that's hitting the health, and that's hitting the relationship. My friends, if you're focusing on those things that may be going on in your life, then you are looking to what is happening to you for your joy, and they're going to lead you astray every time. You need to look at what has happened in you, not what is happening to you. This is so important, and Paul is repeating this over and over and over again. You say, well, how do I practice rejoicing in difficult times? Folks, remember that you're in Christ. Remember that you're totally forgiven. Remember that you're righteous and that you're holy, and tell God this. You're going to see Him actually say this. Say this in prayer. You're going to see that in just a moment. There's power in speaking God's truth over your life. Speak truth, not negativity, not the bad things that's happening to you. Speak what has happened to you in the midst of the circumstances. And by the way, what is happening when you're speaking good over the bad situations? You're practicing rejoicing in difficult times. So how do you practice rejoicing in difficult times? Come to a church like this where you're being told who you are, right? And then repeat that to yourself time and time again. So we stay focused on the prize, number one, by continually being an encourager. Number two, by practicing rejoicing in difficult times. Now my favorite, number three. Tell God your problems and thank God for His promises. That's exactly what he's saying in verse 6. Look at it. Don't worry about anything. Yeah, right, preacher. You don't know what I'm going through. How many of you have been going through a difficult time? Somebody comes up and says, now you know the Bible says, don't worry, and you want to slap them, right? Some of y'all want to come up here and hit me because you're going through something tough right now. Hey, I'm just reading the Bible. Just slap God if you want to slap somebody. I didn't write this. Okay? Don't worry about anything. Instead, watch it. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He's done. I've heard people say, I'd read a verse like this and they'll come up to me after the message. That hadn't happened to here, so don't do that again, okay? It happened to me though one time, I was preaching this, and this guy, whom I know very well, came up to me and said, preacher, if worry is a sin, then I'm just going to have to stay in sin. You see, is that speaking truth? That's speaking a lie from the devil. And as long as you speak the lie, what you have a tendency to do that God says is not who you are, then you're just reinforcing that negative behavior, and that's exactly where you're going to stay. My friends, if you're a worrier, I encourage you to get up and say, listen, I don't have to worry because I know who's got my back. I don't know how this circumstance is going to turn out, but I choose to stay focused on the prize. I'm telling you, it's a choice. We can do that, or we can walk around rehearsing and rehashing what's going on or what's been done to us. And I've seen it happen in family members. I've seen it in my own life where I'd be walking around thinking about what's happening to me. And it's like a spiral. It'll take you down, right? You need to begin to tell yourself the truth. If your attitude has everything to do with whether you're going to walk in what Paul is saying here. Now, I love what he's saying here. Notice the verse again. He said, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Hey, many of you do not have to practice this first part, do you? He said, ask God what you need. Do y'all need any practice with that? I bet y'all got that part down pat, right? Oh, Lord, please come in. Hey, listen, you don't have to plead to your daddy. He loves you. Tell him what you need. But listen to this last part. I hope this is a revelation because I'm telling you, we step right over it and jump on to the next verse. Tell him what you need, but then what did he say do? Thank him for all he has done. I'm telling you, this is a revelation for me. As I was studying this week, I said, wow. We do good completing and complaining and asking for God to take us out of situations, but that's why we keep worrying. Prayer can be a source of worry. You won't hear that in many pulpits. Let me rephrase that. The wrong kind of praying is a source for worry. Praying for God to fix the situation. Praying for God to fix that person. Y'all ain't never prayed that, have you? Praying for God to fix yourself. My brother and I, as we started down this grace track together, and Vicky and some small groups, and we finally came to the conclusion, we can't fix ourselves, much less our spouses or somebody else. Can I hear a witness? Hey, let me give you a hint. Quit trying to change them. It ain't gonna work. Am I right? Ladies, quit laving the devotion that you want him to read beside the nightstand. It don't work. Men, quit just being blunt and telling them to quit doing this. It ain't gonna work. Just love them. Tell them who they are in Christ. Help them and ask God to change them, okay? He's the only one that can do it. Okay? I'm just telling you. After experience here. Tell God what you need, but don't stop there. Thank Him for what He has done. This church is all about teaching the finished work of the cross. Question. Is the finished work of the cross all about what has been done? The answer is yes. I'll help you. That's exactly what we're doing here. No wonder people go out of church worried because they're not told and taught who they are in Christ. Folks, I still worry when I am being taught who I am in Christ, but I have to take those thoughts captive in the name of Jesus Christ. And Paul's actually going to tell them how to do that here in just a moment as he continues to read or write to them. But the secret of walking in joy and peace is to stay focused on the prize. Now, notice the benefit if you choose to do what Paul is saying here. Notice the next slide, verse number 7. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. A little side note. This promise in this verse is not dependent upon the absence of the problem. Many say, well, I can walk in a peace that passes understanding if I wasn't dealing with this problem. This verse, this promise is not dependent upon the absence of your problem. I'm telling you, if you're looking for your peace in the circumstance changing, my friends, you'll walk through the majority of your life worrying and walking in the absence of peace, and it's really right there for yours for the taking. You're just coming at it with the wrong angle. You're not looking and saying, God, thank you that you've already taken care of this problem. Thank you. I started blessing my life, believe it or not. I get something right every now and then, Brother Larry. When I was about to go broke and I was about to lose my house, I started thanking God that I'm rich in Jesus Christ. That all my needs, now I blew it. I'd get back down in the valley of the pity party some, but I'd climb right back out and I'd say, Lord, you got a plan here. You got a purpose. And now God is taking the business just going crazy. For you that are working with me, know exactly what I'm talking about. We all tired. So if I look tired, you'll know why. Okay. I'm saying, okay, Lord, don't shut the blessings off. Okay. But maybe give us a little more help to handle those blessings. Okay. But, I'm telling you, we have a choice whether we're going to walk in worry, anxiety, or stress or not. And I want to remind you, I just felt prompted of the Holy Spirit to do a little search on my Google. On the computer, and I want you to look at what I found. WebMD states this, and I've said this before from the World Health Organization. They say that, I think they say 75% of all illnesses are due to stress. Look at this. 75 to 90% of all doctors' office visits are stress-related ailments and complaints. Wow. Mm-mm-mm. If we're worrying, we're not trusting. If we're worrying, we're not following God's plan. Our bodies were never designed for the negativity, the anxiety that we bring on ourselves and that we let others put on us and the circumstances put on us. I'm telling you, we got to practice rejoicing in the midst of difficulties. And this will help you get out of that hole. Paul could have been speaking about his mistreatment. Can you imagine him, if I'd been him thrown into prison just for preaching the good news of Jesus Christ and for casting out a demon-possessed girl, you know, he was beaten and thrown into prison for that. And here Paul and Silas were singing and praising God. I would have been down there saying, give me my phone. I know they didn't have phones back then. I'd say, give me my carrier pigeon so he can take that mess, that phone call, right? I'd been complaining. I said, Lord, I don't get this. Here I am. I've left my business. I've left everything I know to follow you. And look what you're letting happen to me. Does that sound familiar? Why would God do this to me? Why won't God deliver me from this? Question. Are these things pure and lovely? Let's look at the next verse, verse 8. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. It's like he's just now recapping everything he's just said about speaking truth. He said, there's one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and praiseworthy. If I'm complaining, if I'm whining, if I'm saying I don't deserve this, why me, Lord? Are those things that are praiseworthy and edifying to yourself? No. By the way, who do you think Paul's talking about in verse 8? If he said, fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right, he ain't talking about Carlton Rivers in his behavior, I can tell you that. So who do you think he's talking about here? Yeah, the answer is always Jesus. Go ahead. Okay. It's Jesus. He's clearly talking about Christ. Fix your eyes on the prize. Look at the qualifications. Look at the characteristics of Christ. And then begin to look at yourself in the mirror and say, hey, I'm in Christ. I have the same characteristics of Jesus. Wow. We did, because we are so focused on our behavior, though, we don't see the true identity. Look at this again. He said, fix your eyes on thoughts of what is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, admirable, and so forth. Things that are worthy of praise. Folks, I can only think of one person. It's Jesus Christ. But yet I can also apply those characteristics to me because that's my identity, because I'm in Him. My identity didn't come to me because I got all these things right. That's a good place for amen. You got those because they were gifted to you. Your righteousness, your holiness was ascribed or credited to you. Wow. A great exchange took place at the cross and at the resurrection. You were buried with Him, you were raised with Him, a new creation with every one of these characteristics. And I'm telling you, folks, quit thinking about your behavior and start claiming these promises because that's who you are. Look at verse 9. He wraps it up. He said, keep putting into practice all you've learned and received from me. Everything you heard from me and saw me doing, then God, the God of peace, will be with you. Can I correct something here? This is not a good translation. This gives the indication that if I will practice what Paul is saying here and doing them, then the God of peace will be with you. The Young's literal translation states, the God of peace will be with you. It's not dependent upon you doing your part. Thank God. That's the old covenant we're not under anymore. Folks, we are in Christ. We have been a promise by Jesus Christ Himself just before He ascended back to heaven that I will never leave you or forsake you. If we are in Christ and He hasn't left us and He lives within us through the power of the Holy Spirit, then my friends, the peace of God is with us. You don't have to say, well, if I do my part, then I can have the peace of God. No, you have the peace of God. The choice is, am I willing to walk in it? Am I willing to claim what is mine? Or am I going to keep walking down a fleshly road that is full of worry, that's full of anxiety, and so forth? You see, we really do have a choice. We are in Christ. Therefore, we're in joy. We're in Christ. Therefore, we're walking in peace. But we can walk not understanding our identity and keep on going down the old road. The million-dollar question is, are you going to walk in who you are? That's the question. Well, if we want to follow Paul's advice, I believe you can walk in peace that passes all understanding. No, I don't believe that. I know you can walk in a peace that passes understanding. I've got the t-shirt. I don't always get it right, but when I get my head screwed on right in the midst of difficulties, in the midst of business going south and whatever's going wrong in my family, I've got a choice. I can begin to practice, stay focused on the prize, number one, by continually being an encourager. Number two, by practicing rejoicing in difficult times. And number three, tell God our problems, but get past that quickly and spend more time on the latter part of that verse where he says, thank God for his promises. Get out your pen and paper and write down some things that you're thankful for that God has done. He said, thank God for his promises, things that has happened. Get out CDs of grace-based preachers that are constantly pointing you to the finished work of the cross. And my friends, you can walk in the peace that passes understanding. I believe it and I know it because I've been there and done that. Father, we thank you for being our encourager today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that illuminates your word, that brings revelation and teaches us, Lord, who we are and what you've already done. And God, how to put some of these things into practice in a practical way, even in our praying. Lord, tell us what you want us to do for us, but then don't stay there. Begin to be thankful for what you've already done and about our identity and about we're raised with Christ. We're seated in the heavenlies. And why have I got to worry? The more we focus on the prize of Jesus Christ, the more we don't have time for worry. We just can trust you one day at a time, saying, Lord, I'm looking for that breakthrough today. If it don't happen today, I'll trust you for tomorrow. If it don't happen tomorrow, I'll trust you. Some of us have been in situations for months, and we didn't see really the breakthrough in as far as that adversity or difficulty for months or maybe even years. But God, we, instead of wasting those months and years worrying, we can walk with a peace that passes understanding because we're focusing on what you've done in us instead of what you're going to do for us. And God, I thank you for how you're really bringing this principle home through this book of Philippians as we've had a great time studying. And we just thank you for those that are here that are walking through difficult times. God, next week, they're going to be slapped with something that's going to bring them sadness, that's going to take the peace from them. But God, help them to take those thoughts captive, begin to repeat what they've heard today. Holy Spirit, remind them that God, they don't have to worry because they've got a source that is beyond their worry. And his name is the Holy Spirit. And we just thank you and praise you for Jesus and all that he's done. In his name we pray. Amen and amen.